How do we get the word out to Bahamians that we have excellent publishers here in the Bahamas that they can trust? You know, a lot of times people look to go outside of the country because they don't feel that Bahamian publishers are accomplished enough. How do we get the word out that we have accomplished Bahamian publishers who can give you who can actually do a better job for you than the person abroad who you've never met? You're talking to them on the telephone and you're sending them all of your money, and in the long run, you're not pleased with the product. How do we get the word out about Bahamian publishers?
Well, unfortunately, we have a mindset. Many of us have this mindset that foreign is better, and not just with publishers. So we're not offended that they feel that way. It's sad that they do, but anything foreign seems to be better. And so they look out before they look in. Unfortunately, there are some local publishers who do leave people high and dry. Mm-hmm. I've had so many people come to me and tell me their sad stories, you know, about the shoddy job or how this one took their money and never paid. So we do need to work on integrity. But aside from that, we do have people who are skilled and qualified. And I think one of the better ways that we can get word out is word of mouth. People sharing. A lot of people find me by just doing a Google search and finding our website. And so that is also a way. But if you find something good, you want to share it. You're not just, mm-hmm. you're not going to hide it unless you're selfish and you just say, oh, this I'm keeping this just for me because I don't want anybody else to publish a good book. But you need to be open and share. And I've had so many clients who were so excited about me. They said, oh, I can't believe I tried this. I've tried so many different publishers before. And now finally, you know, you come and you do my book and you have my book published in 6 to 8 weeks, just like you said. And I give them more than they bargained for. And for a fraction of the cost that they would charged elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And they say, some of them have said, oh my goodness, I won't stop talking about you. I'm going to tell everybody about you. And then when you turn around and say, well, do you mind giving me a review? You wouldn't get that review out of them. You would have to, I mean, and I'm not going to chase after you after I have asked mm-hmm. you several times, you know, mm-hmm. but you're not going to, you know, some people it's just not in their makeup to celebrate others. Mm. And so that is an unfortunate thing with a black crab syndrome, you know. So we have to learn how to celebrate each other. And that's author to author. And one of the things that I've started too is allowing our authors to review each other's work.
Yes.
So that we don't just wait on people on Amazon to come on and read, because some of them do and they do a great job. But if we're doing a press release I know that your niche is children's books, then I can come to you and say, would you please review this? Well, it's mm-hmm. a win-win situation then. Mm-hmm. So you benefit, because if we're doing a press release, then we say, well, this release was by Mrs. Portia Sands, author of the book, Bubuki and Barabi series. Mm-hmm. And then we can put somebody else in. And then, so your name goes out and people reading that and say, oh my goodness, I wanted that book. I've heard about it. Mm-hmm. So we learn to help each other. But when we're selfish and we're thinking that only I only want people to help me, but I'm not going to help anybody, we're going to be stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to get over those kinds of hurdles and mindsets and understand that together, if we stand together, we're going to be stronger.
That's
and
correct.
Facilitate each other to develop this industry. But we do have a few good publishers, and I hope word does get out of what we do. And not every publisher is for you. You have to find out which one is for you.
Yes.
I want to just share a quick story, if I may.
Okay.
I had a lady come to me the other day. This is about 2 months ago now. And she heard me, this maybe more than 2 months. She heard me speaking on Spence Finlayson's show, radio program. And she said, I have this book idea. And her name is Dr. Celeste Williams. And she doesn't mind, I've gotten her permission to share her story. And Dr. Celeste suffered a stroke about 14 years ago. She wanted to make good out of that terrible ordeal. And so she put pen to paper and she sat on it. Timing is everything in releasing your book. She could have just written that right away and pushed it out, but timing had to be right. And so she heard about me, she got my contact number. We crossed paths many years ago and we reconnected with this publishing project. She sent me her manuscript. It was five chapters. And I thought, oh my goodness, how could you publish a book with just five chapters? And so, but I looked closer rather than just throwing the idea away. I said, let me see how I can help. The book needed help because it was raw. It needed help with editing, which all books need. There's no shame in that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we were able to facilitate her with the editing. After the editing process, I was able to help her with dividing the chapters until they came up to 22 or 23 chapters. So from 5 to 23, and they all told a story. And instead of just saying chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, they were we gave them chapter headings that tell a story to lead people in to the story. So that's how we develop. Not only did we develop the book and the story to where she just enjoyed reading the book every time we would send her the manuscript to vet, she said, oh, I just love this. I just love this. I love what you did with this book. And so mm-hmm. we were able to not only publish the book in 6 to 8 weeks and get her the proof copy for her to approve, but we were able to create the book trailer, a sample, an audio sample, so that people could click on it and actually hear the book, because not everybody wants to take the time to read your sample. So mm-hmm. people are listening to the book, the sample, not the whole book.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to create the press release and send that out throughout the Bahamas, through to Turks and Caicos, to Jamaica, to some islands in the Caribbean. So we're able to send those things out. It is so important not to give up on your dream, but to bring it to somebody who can take your baby and nurture it into where you want that thing to go. She is absolutely thrilled and blown away to where this raw product has gone, so much so that we have developed a website for her. Mm-hmm. The name of the book is Loving Life. And she's so modest that she was kind of holding back with some of the information. And when I found out that she had it in her heart to start this foundation. I said, well, where's the website? So we created a website. We created the book. We packaged everything. She's a jewelry designer. So we put a page on a shop there so that now she's selling her jewelry and part proceeds are going towards the foundation where she's helping other people who are stroke victims or stroke survivors. And so it's not just about publishers don't just get a book and say, hey, this is going to be a lot of work. I don't want it. No, we are a boutique publisher and we take your baby and we nurture that baby to see what all can come out of that. Mm-hmm. So it's a journey. It's a labor of love, but it's such a wonderful experience to see at the end of the day where these books can go, where they do go. Two young ladies came to me the other day, they're teachers, and they had this massive book, textbook they wanted published. And so I looked at it and I thought, wow, this is a serious accomplishment for them, especially mm-hmm. so young. And it's not an easy job to publish something like this. Mm-hmm. So I looked at it and I could have taken that book and just published it as is. But big books are not necessarily better books. Mm-hmm. They listened to my advice and now they have three books out of that one book, level mm-hmm. one, two, and three. And beautiful. So their book is not just a one-hit wonder. Their book, they are establishing themselves as leaders in their area.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be coming out soon. So we have wonderful talent here, wonderful talent in the Bahamas. And we mm-hmm. do need to, if you like a book, talk about it. If you like a book, send the author a note and say, I enjoyed your book. I get those kinds of emails or people stop my husband and say, tell your wife, I read the book. It changed my life. Some people say, oh, that marriage book, that saved my marriage. But don't just whisper in my ear. Send it. Put it on Amazon. Shout it to the world. Yes. Help authors, not just me. Do it for authors.
Yes.
If you're happy with your publisher, let your publisher know and send them a note so that they can put it on their social media page or their website. Get the word out. We can do this. We can support our own economy instead of always sending these jobs out of the country.
Yes. And, you know, I'm glad.
Portia, is it possible for me to add something to what Terry's saying?
Of course. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Terry. Amazing job. For those persons that's on the call, I got to put that plug in there. If you're really serious about getting your stuff, Terry is the person to do it. She's the expert I go to. What I was thinking, Portia, is we already started the process of building through the Department of Culture, which has obviously its own level of credibility, building that portal out. Perhaps what we can do is get together and put together a standard for different services, publishers and the like. And those Bahamian publishers that meet that standard could then obviously be a part of that recommended portal, even as we continue to build this whole process. Just an idea.
That's an excellent idea. As a matter of fact, I mean that's definitely something that we can work on. But even by word of mouth, when people call and they ask, and they said, I want to publish my book, who do you recommend? I'm sure Ms. Bethel would say that several persons might have come to her who I'd given her name, you know, to them.
Absolutely.
Once I know that you're a credible individual, you're doing, you would give an outstanding product and services, I recommend you. When people ask, I would send individuals to you. And so that definitely is a beautiful idea, Pastor Jones, that we can work, we can craft something that we can put out there. Most definitely. That's excellent. And we want to, we also want people to be held to a certain standard. Those persons who are in the arena, but they're offering substandard services and products, we want them to be to rise up to the standard. We don't want them to stay there or linger there. We want everybody to rise to a certain standard so that individuals would know that there is a plethora of companies or individuals that they can choose from when they want good services and or to produce a good product. Because sometimes people will end up with somebody they may not have chosen for themselves because they don't feel comfortable with what else is out there. And so if we get everybody or a large grouping of the team or the professionals at a certain standard, then people will have more to choose from, you know, because right now the pickings are few. And one thing we know about Bahamians, they are picky. they like choices. You know, they don't like to feel as if they're forced into choosing a particular individual or company because the pickings are few. And so we want to give them choices, but we also want to give them excellent choices. You know, we want people to be at that standard. So yes, definitely. One of the things we can do, we can have a conversation with what it is we want to put in place for that. I definitely already have some ideas as to what we would want to do to ensure that companies and individuals are at a certain standard. I think in our country, there hasn't been much regulation and legislation in terms of cultural practitioners. For example, I can say to anybody, oh, I'm a world-class storyteller. How do I measure that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we can say to anyone, anybody can say, oh, I'm a publisher. I've learned now the little tricks of the trade, how to open up an Amazon account, to Kindle Direct, and how to get to Barnes & Noble and all these other places. So I can say to anybody, oh, I'm an accomplished publisher. How do we measure these things? Okay. What is the criteria to be an established publisher? So a lot of things, we've been using a lot of terms very loosely because we do not have formal regulations and policies in place to kind of curtail or streamline what people are doing. And that's, I think, and that's how some people get, quote unquote, swing, because of the lack of regulations. You know, I always look at annually, they would post a list of persons that are certified in certain areas. These are the certified individuals in this area, and they put in a newspaper. Can we not establish some regulation and policy where we can say, if you don't have this as a criteria, you won't be recognized as a certified publisher or something like that. And so at the beginning of the year, we can list these. This is the list of certified publishers in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. And persons will know. Or we can even add it onto our Facebook page or the ministry's website and these kinds of things. The regulations and the policies in the cultural arena, they're just, you know, they're not there. And it's something that we have to come to the place where we get things going to that effect.
You know, I think Terry mentioned something a little while as she was speaking, and that pointed towards us being honest. And while that's a conversation probably at another level, even from the publishing space, there are some things that we are good at as publishers and some things we are not. And I think that level of integrity to be able to say to persons that would come to us, hey, listen, I'm not your guy for this. That's not my specialty. Let me recommend this other person to go in this particular place because that's more or less their specialty. I think that also will help us to build this entire process in the country of publishers and persons that can help these people. Just a thought.
And you're correct. You're correct. Integrity, professional integrity is important. We don't all have it, unfortunately. Some of us just look at the bottom line, the mighty dollar, and we go with that. But yes, there should be a level of professional integrity. And not only that, the building up, the networking, that's so important. You know, it's not so much that you'll be losing business, but you're networking and you're building the profession, you're building the industry. Because it's not only just about you or your company. It's about building the entire industry. And how do we network to cause the industry to grow, to cause Bohemians to trust the Bohemian professionals? Because if I do a bad job, the word on the street would be, don't fool with these Bohemian publishers.
Right.
So the entire industry will suffer, you see? Whereas if I say to them, if I use professional integrity and say to them, this is not my strength, let me recommend you to somebody who would do a better job at this for you. It builds the industry. So somebody will come out pleased with their product and say, you know what? I used a Bohemian company and I was very pleased, okay? So we've got to consider the bigger picture and not so much us as individuals, because we need to build the industry. We need to build the trust between us and the customers, the consumers, so that the industry itself would grow. And like you said, in the Bahamas, word of mouth is the biggest form of promotion in the Bahamas. That's just the way it is. And so, you know...
I think too, Ms. Sands, is that it is incumbent upon us as publishers to give value for money.
Agreed.
And what I am seeing is frightening, you know, because I look at some of the things that some of these publishers who have been around forever are putting up for their clients, and then the clients come to me, and I'm not going to speak poorly of an individual or a company, I'm wondering, really, is this professional? Is this how you are presenting somebody's work? These people worked hard for this. I believe in giving above and beyond when you are serving somebody. Sometimes it's a thankless thing, like I said before, but we have to start setting standards so that we can attract the people. I think in terms of the standards of people just coming out and saying, I'm a publisher, you have that everywhere in all industries. We had that. When I was teaching purse making and fabric painting, people would come to my class and take one class, and the next thing I hear, the next week, they are teaching what they learned in one class. They didn't even grasp the basic principles in my class, yet they were ready to hang their sign. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's the same when you deal with upholsterers or plumbers or carpenters. They get a little bit of information, they run off and they get themselves in trouble because they are not skilled. And so we have to make sure that we are the skilled ones who show integrity in our work, who give over and above, who like our country, our company. We don't consider ourselves just publishers. We consider ourselves boutique publishers. We are book coaches because we walk you through each step of the way. We're like the midwife that helps to bring your baby forth. And then as it comes forth, we help to put a shine on it. We make you look good. When we make you look good, we look good.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to stop being just money grabbers to say, let me get this one here. Yes, it's important that we have a turnover so we can have keep the lights on. It's important to have a steady flow. Mm-hmm. But we don't do that at the expense of our clients.
Correct.
So it is a joy to serve. It is a joy to create these products for our clients. And you could hear it in Conrad's voice last night. He was so excited. You
can hear it
in Miss Turnquest today. She was excited. She's passionate about
it. The passion. Yes.
And so, but we have, it's twofold now. So we need the people who are coming to us to honor the gift that is in front of them when they realize that they have somebody who can give them the wealth of information that we have. We're going to give it to you. Are you willing, like Conrad said last night, are you willing to listen? Or is this just going to be something that it's best that we part ways because you still just want to do things your way because you don't want to listen? And so why should I invest all my time and energy in you if you're going to drag your feet and you're going to go contrary to what I'm saying? So it's teamwork, it's partnering, it's a partnership.
Yes.
And what I also love about what you're doing is the anthology aspect of it. Giving authors an opportunity to step out who might not have the opportunity to do it as individuals because they might not be there yet.
Yes.
But giving them a platform for exposure. And that's what we also do at Inspire Publishing. We are beginning to create anthologies. We have one in the works now called Courageous Overcomers. So people with overcoming stories, it's a tool for those who don't know how to ask questions. And I mean, I dug a hole and I'm flat in the hole. How do I get out of this hole? Well, most people think that if they keep digging, they'll get out of the hole, but it only gets them digger. Deeper into the hole. So coming together, we share our wisdom, we share our insights. Iron is sharpening iron.
Yes.
And we are providing opportunities for help to get out there, for authors to be seen, writers to get exposure. And what you are doing at the Department of Culture in providing the grants for those who want to do that, those who want to be published, you know, people can come to you and say, I really have an idea. I need this book. I need this published. I have a message, but I can't afford it. How can you assist me?
Yes. So
that's a wonderful opportunity that I was also sharing with people who say, well, I really have this idea, but I don't have the funds. Well, there are people out there who are willing to help. And so I think that is a laudable thing that you guys are doing over there. So thank you for that opportunity.
Thank you as well. It has been an amazing journey between last night and today. There was so much passion and I like it because sometimes you feel like you're fighting alone.
You're right.
But it's good to know that you're not in this alone. We have shared passions and whatever niche we find ourselves in, we're right there hacking away, trying to do what we can to ensure that the industry blooms and grows.
Right.
And so I want to say thank you to you.
Well,
thank you to Conrad from last night. And I'm not sure if BJ is still on with us. What a fabulous time of sharing we had today. and I kind of monopolized the question and answer. I'm not sure if anyone else has any questions or comments as we begin to wrap up. Let me just give a quick opportunity to anyone that's listening in with a question or a comment. Okay. I do want to say that as you mentioned, the two teachers that came to you with their text, teachers do not realize how much material they have.
That's right.
While I was in the classroom, I had to come up with poems, I had to come up with songs, I had to come up with riddles, I had to come up with equations and worksheets and all kinds of things. Had I kept even 10% of what I produced when I was in the classroom, I would have had maybe about 20 books.
Wow.
Because we teachers have to keep, you know, we have to keep it, what they say, fresh right. And interesting for the children. And so teachers are always coming up with things. We're always creating stories. We have to put a spin on the Bible stories to capture the children's attention. We have to put a spin on our social studies topics. For example, you know, we have to create some dramatization with Christopher Columbus landing and all these kinds of things. Teachers are always producing. And we just do it basically for our students, not knowing that the material that we're producing for our students is so valuable.
Right.
It's so vast. And, you know, I think, and that remains almost like an untapped resource. We need to get the word out to teachers to say to them, you need to start saving your stuff and looking at how you want to possibly produce them or reproduce them or publish later on. I know for a fact that in the primary schools, we've been using international textbooks, especially for not so much language for the upper primary. I know they develop a language book for upper primary. Mm-hmm. Lower primary books, at one point, they had put out some lower primary books. I don't even know if they're in use any longer. We need material. We need Bahamian material in our schools. I don't know that there is a Bahamian math book in the primary school. I know it's in the high schools, but in the primary school. So something's coming.
Something's coming in the middle school. And it is phenomenal. It is culturally relevant. And that is the beauty of it. And so to see, people think when you have to get old, you have to be old to do great things. No, start where you're at. Start where you're at with what you have and be faithful in it. And so these ladies came with this one massive textbook. And I said, listen, it's going to be too expensive. I am a parent and I know what it was like to have to buy these books that cost so much every term. Break it up in three parts so that it is more attractive and it makes more sense for your marketing. Well, you know, it is such a joy to work with people who heed wisdom. So they don't just take everything I say and just, yes, yes, yes. No, they go and they discuss it and then they come back and they said, yes, okay, so I'm going to listen to what you have to say. And, just to see people taking what they have, and that was something that came about because of the lockdown, and they saw that there was a deficit, and so now they're saying, instead of complaining about a problem, how can we be a part of the solution?
Correct.
And so that is leadership. And that is what we need. My husband has been saying it for years. How many of these teachers could be creating books for yes. our school system because yes. they've taught these things year in and year out. But yes. we still, he didn't say this, I'm saying this, we still got a cow neck call boy.
Yeah.
We still got books from other parts of the world when we have fantastic writers, authors in our country.
Correct.
You know, and we have to find a way to get our books in the private and the public schools.
Yes.
But quite often, people look at us and they say, well, that's a Bahamian book. And they don't see the value. They don't take the time to read. You mm-hmm. know, even if you were to add it to a book list or say this is a supplemental book, how can we help our authors so that our children can be balanced readers and excited about their country, about the information that we're trying to share with them? And then perhaps we won't be going through all the hell and high water that we're going through now. And if I just say, just for one little snippet here, in this anthology that we're putting together, one of the gentlemen who's featured, he was sentenced to life in prison, our prison, for 58 years.
Wow.
His case was revisited, and he got out of prison within 8 years. But he had been to prison because he had been to prison 8 or 9 times in his life. And it started because of his youth, being brought up in a single home. And I don't want to spill the beans on the story, but these are the kinds of stories that really can help people come through their challenges. And so we have to start focusing now on the types of stories. We have to, you know, these stories that are taking people down the wrong track, we need to refocus now as writers and authors and say, how is this adding value?
Yes.
How is this adding value to our people? Yes, we might be able to make money if we write evil or dark books, but how is that affecting our children?
Yes.
When we can instill wonderful values in them. So we need to come together. People need to come together and say, okay, this group needs to get together with their friends and we have stories to tell. And we can do this in an anthology. Let's go to the Department of Culture, get the funds, and then turn to Inspire Publishing or Conrad Jones or somebody else. And let's get these stories out. Let's get the books published.
We need to
see more quality Bahamian books on the market now.
Yes.
You know, Portia, let me just kind of drop in there because this is really, I know we intruding on Terry's time, but this is an exciting concept. And I want your listeners and your audience to pay attention to what's going on. Many times we allow these things to go over our heads. You had one of these sessions where you brought in someone from the Ministry of Education that laid out the guidelines concerning what the ministry was looking for as it relates to books. Listen, man, this is a wide open market with millions of dollars in it. And education is saying we need these books. And the government is one of the biggest purchasers of goods and supplies in this country. So the opportunity here for authors is amazing from the standpoint that they not only have the people that's telling them what they want and what they need and the publishers who could get them done, but now they have a ready marketplace to sell their products to. We have to pay attention to what's up. Sorry, I stopped.
No, that's fantastic.
That's good stuff.
That's fantastic. Right. And what we have to do in order to do that is listen to what the buyers are saying, like the Ministry of Education. What is it they need? Stop giving them what you want to sell them. Find out what exactly it is they need and follow the guidelines so that you can get your book in. So Mrs. Jack did a fantastic, Vannery Jack, she did a fantastic presentation, as Conrad said. And so let's get together and find out what people need. And that's why when they come to us for a free consultation, initial consultation, we say, okay, where is this going? Why are you just trying to sell a book, write a book? Has it just been your dream? Or do you have, is this something that the people need and want, or is this something you just want to put on them? You know,
correct.
You can't just sell them what you want. You have to give them what they want and what they need if you want your product to sell without compromising your belief system. I'm not talking about selling Harry Potter or junk that would cause more confusion in our school system or in our country. I'm talking about quality. Let's put our heads together. Let's put our efforts together and create viable opportunities where we can, as a nation, begin to turn around and get the violence off the street, get the incest out of the homes, get the marriages back on track. You know, let's start to build our nation with what we're doing, instead of just concentrating on building up our pockets with producing, being purveyors of non-essential garbage. That might not be very nice to say, but you know, we want to keep it tight, keep it right, and do what's best for our country.